Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
So great to be connected. And how many are excited about the fact that God every day has something special? You can just come to church, you can just do what you always do, or you can come with an expectant heart. And God wants us to reach beyond the circumstances of where we're at. And Marie and I are really blessed. Marie's my best friend. Been married for 43 years. That's pretty amazing. And she still tells me what to do. In fact, that's a partnership. Come on, we're going to pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that as we just share our journey, we share your greatness, your compassion, your power to heal and turn things around. That Holy Spirit, you'll give each one of us a capacity to hear, Holy Spirit, what you are saying to us. Be more than a message, more than a good time, but there'll be a moment where something will happen on the inside of us that will have eternal ramifications. We thank you for those we're sitting next to. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't like the person you're sitting next to, just quickly change right now before you take a seat. But take your seat. We're excited about being here, aren't we, Marie?
We are. What an incredible milestone. You guys have just celebrated 100 years as a church. Isn't that amazing? The faithfulness of God throughout the years and the generations. He's a good God.
We were just talking. We started life 34 years ago. So we've been in the same church that whole time. And so many of the people in life are still there today serving. And church becomes what God does and how we respond. And so we're just going to believe God to really move powerfully. And thanks, I think it's Aiden who's been on the keys for us. We'll get you later on. Thanks for that. All right, I want to read a scripture that has been very much a part of my whole life, our whole life in ministry, and often is talked about and used, but it's got a profound insight into some things that we take for granted at times. The Bible says, for everything there is a season. Just stop there for a moment. Just realize that your life right now is just a season. It's not the full scope of what takes place. And there is a time for every purpose under heaven. God's in control and he moves. Then in verse 11, it says, he or God has made everything beautiful, get this again, in its time. Hear that? Season, purpose, time. We tend to put all of our lives together into one period of living. But God says life is very different, particularly here on earth and in our humanity. Things happen that we don't expect. Things are victorious. Things are defeat sometimes. And we go through seasons and we tend to respond to the season rather than realizing God allows seasons to achieve something far more. September 2021 was something that really shifted in our lives.
Yeah, it was a big pivot in our lives when it was during the COVID season. I know we would rather forget that, but it was during the COVID season. Paul went on a bike ride. He used to do a lot of cycling. He was very fit. And I got a phone call to say that he had been hit by a car. Not actually a moving car. It was a lady who was a homeless lady who was living in her car, opened up her door, and Paul came flying down on his bike, probably speeding past what you were supposed to do, and didn't see the car door open. This lady was rummaging through her car, opened the door, and he banged straight into the car. And an ambulance was called. They called me to say to come down and see him. And that started a whole new journey in our season that we have just walked through. One of the reasons I'm sitting up here today with Paul is to help with his reading, because he didn't see the car. But what we didn't realize, and we came to find out over the course of the next 6 weeks, where his cognitive ability was fading, he couldn't remember things, he was bumping into everything. And we soon discovered online with the doctor, because we weren't allowed to go in physical to see him, was that he had 3 tumors in the brain, which we later found out was terminal melanoma cancer.
We're going to be sharing a lot about that journey through the last 4 years of having terminal cancer, where medically speaking, there was no answer to. So tonight, we want to encourage everybody to be here at 4 o'clock, because it's going to be a time where we're going to pray for the miraculous, literally lay hands on people and see a shift in the season that maybe we are in. And maybe right now it's something beyond your reach and you think it's impossible. We understand, we have been through that. But the challenge in life is we can react or respond. And when we face seasons that are unexpected and they are seemingly impossible, it's easy to get into reaction mode, or you go through something that was completely unexpected and it was dark and it was horrible and you didn't know how to do. God teaches us in His Word, don't react, respond. Because there is a season to everything. We just read that. There is summer seasons, we love that, and there are winter seasons. In Melbourne, we know all about that. Same in New Zealand. We know what it is to be cold and we know what it is to be hot. But every season, hear this, has a purpose. And right now, the season you in has a purpose, and God wants to cause us to understand the beauty of seasons and how God even allows the tough seasons for a greater outcome. Yeah. And so we really want to share a few thoughts about what we've experienced in the last 4 years in particular, and some of the learnings that came out of this last period of time. And there are many, but we're just going to focus on 4 of them. One of the things that was really underscored for me in my faith journey is the understanding that hope is the birthplace of faith. I want you to think about this for a moment. There's a lot of preaching in church about faith. Faith moves mountains. Faith brings the supernatural into the natural. Faith opens doors that are currently locked. Faith does that. But we don't hear a lot about the responsibility of faith, which is a platform of hope. I want you to hear this. The enemy cannot stop faith, but the enemy can discourage us and cause us to lose hope. I'm speaking to every location, every individual. Right now, you may love God, but you're in a time where you feel like you're struggling to hold on to hope. Well, what we've learned is that we have the responsibility to keep hope alive, because hope is the birthplace of faith. We all want the supernatural breakthrough, but the devil can't take faith from us, but he can stop the birthplace of faith. I need an amen. I wrote a book on insecurity, so I need a lot of feedback, okay? But the fact is true that all of us need to hold on to hope. It's like, let's stir up hope. Let's have a, I love worship today, because there's an expectation in worship for God's presence to come again, to touch us, to cover us, and to move upon us. And so there we are in the middle of it. We found God. Looking back over my life, I think it was 1991 that we started life in New Zealand. We were currently in Sydney. I had been there for 10 years. That's where I met Marie, and our 3 boys were born there. Thought that was my future. And I had 3 nights where I couldn't sleep. And I felt like God's Holy Spirit was just saying, Paul, would you go back to New Zealand? And I'm thinking, no, I love Australia. I even start to talk like an Aussie, married to an Aussie, 3 kids that were born in Australia. We thought our future was there. And I was like, would you go? There's a need for leadership in New Zealand. The church has sort of leveled. And we obviously said, God, if this is really you, we'll do whatever you want. And we knew God had called us. The first 9 years, however, when we birthed life, were not what we expected. We thought because God called us, everything would be fantastic. But we realized that a church is not born and then begin to mature without a whole lot of hope. And the enemy said, look, it's too hard. You're not going to make it. We were in the era where you had overhead projectors. And we couldn't even afford a good one. Our one had a crack in it. And then we had these transparencies that had been gifted generationally. You couldn't even make out what the words were saying anymore. And I thought God had called us to plant a church, but there was nothing that was there to start with. Even our senior leader said, we can't finance the start of the church because we're in a building project. And I'd been a pastor, an associate pastor in a large church in Australia, and I thought God would just open every door. And I had to realize that we needed the supernatural to unlock which was naturally impossible. But I had to learn this: hope is my responsibility. It's the foundation. It's the foundation of the supernatural. So we're in a month, we're talking about the miraculous. We're talking about miracles. We're talking about supernatural things. We, as I said, you can't miss tonight because we're going to talk about the reality of going through our cancer journey. And anyone that really needs a miracle or people that don't believe God exists, they need to be here tonight. And if you're here today, you need to be here today and tonight. I'm being bold because I realize there is a shift. We've got to come against the enemy, stir up hope. And in other words, if you want a good message from Marie and I today, you need to express that with a hope-filled response all the time, okay? All the way through, it's like, come on, we're going to get into this. So much true. But again, Hebrews 11 verse 1 says this.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Biblical. Faith is the substance of your hope. So when we begin to realize that, and I have never really understood it, the battle against hope until we've faced many challenges. The first 9 years of birthing life was a big challenge. Facing terminal cancer, where medically speaking, they said there is no answer to it. Then you go, there are nights that are pretty dark in the middle of COVID where you go, wow, I don't think we're going to make this. And I had to say, devil, no. God's will be done. And whatever he has will happen.
Yeah.
We're not going to give up on hope because it's the birthplace of faith.
Yeah.
So we need to cultivate an environment of expectation.
Yeah.
I'm a real believer of looking at a response attitude, not a reaction attitude. Mm. I think Newman's been through some tough days. So what are we doing? Are we reacting to it or are we responding in it? Mm. And saying, God, you've allowed certain things to happen. People have made certain decisions, but you said that if we will pick it up and respond and maintain and increase our hope in the heat of the battle, we're going to see the miraculous.
Yeah.
We're going to see an outpouring of the power of God. And there is, I believe, an incredible opportunity. So we're going to pray for hope to be restored at the end of the service. Come on, every location. We're going to believe God's going to touch. And then tonight, we're really going to minister to people. Daniel 11:32 is one of my favorite scriptures. It's been with me since a young boy.
It says, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits.
Read it again.
But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits.
Love that verse. Mm. But what I've realized is exploits have a history. Mm. We all see the outcomes of people who have great faith, but we fail to realize their faith was born out of a decision to stay hope-filled.
Yeah.
Come on, right now, the best thing you can do is saying, look, I don't know the answer. I don't know if I'm going to get through. I don't know if God's going to heal or not heal, or God's going to move and turn things around. But I've got hope that God's will be done.
Yeah.
Amen. I think we were about 6 or 7 years ago. We have always, since we started life, had a heart for the community. So I felt before we started life in Sydney, when we were praying about coming, that I said to God, how can we reach people? How can we really turn the lives of people around? And I felt like God said one of the key ingredients is meet their needs. And so we made a decision that we would always have a huge investment into community and reaching the needs of everyday living of lives of people. We've been committed to that and we've seen great impact made, but it was about, I think it was 7 or 8 years ago, I felt a moment when I was with the Holy Spirit just praying in that, that we should believe for in one calendar year that we would raise $20 million worth of community impact through our church. And I was like, what? $20 million of community impact. That's giving, that's investment, that's working with other organizations, but we could tangibly express $20 million worth of community impact. People thought we'd lost the plot. We'd completely gone off the radar. We'd missing God. Anyway, long story short, in that calendar year, we saw $20 million worth of community impact happen. I want you to hear this, because there were many impossible moments with it. And from that year, about 7 or 8 years ago, through to today, every year we've increased our community giving. And so there hasn't been a year that we didn't exceed $20 million worth of community impact. The last year, I believe, was $34 million worth of community impact in one calendar year. The seed of that, this is what I want you to get, was a hope. God, you've got the answers for the needs of humanity. And we're believing that you're asking us to step into that. And so we began to venture on a road that seemed absolutely impossible. To everything, there is a season. There is a time for every purpose under heaven. And the power of that hope is something that changes everything. By the way, always remember that hope awakens the attention of the enemy. You start speaking hopefully. People say, well, what are you going on about? You know, the enemy doesn't want us to have hope because it's the birthplace of faith. Somebody getting this? So when you feel like people are trying to shut you down, the enemy's coming against you because you've got hope for things, you've got high expectation about what God will do. Well, Pneuma, what's it going to look like in the future? Its best days are ahead. Because we're learning things in the darkness we didn't have before. And so in the middle of that, I just want you to be challenged. Hey, hope is the birthplace of faith. The enemy can't take my faith. I'll say it again. It will work on my hope. So I've got to stir up hope. When we've had medical people say, there is no way we can operate on your brain. Three tumors in the brain. One was 5 centimeters, one was 3 centimeters, and one was one little dot. And they say it's impossible for us to operate. What do you do in those dark moments? We'll say, well, God has the last say. We're going to keep believing God's will be done. Are you getting something? How many need an impartation of hope? Come on, we're going to believe for that in this meeting, every location, to see God do it. So that's one of the understandings or the learnings from the last season. The second one is this: revelations anchor us in storms. That's a big one.
It's a huge one. I think it's only in the storms of life that we find out what we really believe. I know for Paul and I, that was a definitely in-your-face reality again. What do you really believe? Do you really believe God's a healer? Do you really believe God is good? Do you really believe God is faithful? Or have you just read about it? And I think in the darkness of the storm, that's when you know what you really know.
We say to people all the time, do you know what you know? It's like, I believe this. Do you believe that really? Do you know? Do you have a revelation about that? Because when the storms come, when COVID hit, Christians went AWOL all over the place. Where are you? Oh, well, I don't know. You know, I don't know what the future looks like. And then you have all conspiracy theories coming in, and this is going to happen and that's going to happen. What I know, and I knew this as a young boy, is that God is in ultimate control. We will not understand everything that takes place, but I know that I know that if my time is up, I know where I'm going. I know what's happening. I'm in the place of a knowledge and an understanding. And the question is, do you know what you know? So here we are in church. Some of us, because I understand pastoral work we do, we've been in our whole lives. You may be in this meeting and have leadership over your life. People might see you as somebody that's truly prophetic, truly in a place where God speaks. But do you know what you know? Because it's your revelations that will anchor you in the storms. So when the storms come and you begin to question and are half-hearted, you're standing on the sides to see what will happen. You don't know what you should know. Because if God's put you there and you know God's put you there after being 34 years pastoring life, we've had to know that we know God's called us to certain things. 3 years into birthing the church, remember this? We decided there was no big Christmas events in Auckland. But I said, I feel like I'm prompted by God that we should do a Christmas event. And they said, but we're only 3 years old. There's hardly any of us. And I said, yeah, but I feel we should do it. And we should go to the main park where many events happen and we should do it. A little church doing that. So we committed to doing it. At that time, it was going to cost about $40,000. And it's like, how would we have that money? We didn't have only when I said, I don't know. But if God is on this, he's going to make a way. We got to 6 weeks out, the main artist we had secured and the main sponsor pulled out. And so we started to talk as a team, what are we going to do? And they said, well, we've got to have some wisdom. Maybe we should just leave it for another time. I said, yeah, but I feel like I know God spoke to me about this. They said, well, then it's on your shoulders. It's like, yeah, thanks a lot. But a long story short, 6 weeks out, we just said, we're making a decision. We're going for it. No matter what happens, because I felt that we knew God spoke to us. Come on. Revelations anchor us in storms. 6 weeks out, another sponsor turned up. Another artist says, I'll come and be a part of it. We had 25,000 people come out to our carols event. And a miracle happened. Great to have the locations clapping as well today. Because the reality is, we haven't got it all together, but what we've realized is your revelations,
The
things that are real and cemented. We're in a day where we are bombarded on the internet, bombarded on all kinds of information, bombarded from negative people. What do you know when other people are being negative?
Yeah.
Are you standing? Come on, Yuma's been birthed by God. It's been through a few storms, but all of us go through a few storms because people make decisions. But we know that God birthed it and God will be with her and God will see her come to her full potential.
Yeah.
So I just want to encourage you, in the worst times, remember to every winter there is a summer.
Yeah.
Every autumn there is a spring because he has made everything beautiful.
Yeah.
Not in my time, but in its time. So we've been through a lot. I carry the scars. We'll talk about that tonight. I've had two major brain surgeries. Took the whole back of my brain off. And they said to us at the time that more than likely you won't make it through. And if you do, then you'll be severely limited. And I've lost some of my vision, but I think God allows certain things so we stay dependent. Come on, Jacob walked with a limp. The tough stuff that have happened to you can become your greatest asset if you don't react. You turn to God and you respond.
Yeah, that's good.
You keep hope alive. But what are your revelations that you know, that you know, that you know? By the way, clear light, what did I say? Reaches further in darkness. What I'm saying is the things that you know will shine in darkness. It'll be as constant and as strong. So a lot of us are going to do a lot of work on not getting more food, but going deeper with the food we already have.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that preacher, they bring in new stuff. I love that. I've just read that. That's great. What about the stuff you have previously read? Have you given it time to go from what you've read into your mind, into your heart, so that when you hit the storm, it will stay strong?
Great.
So many people go to the latest thing, even in Christendom. They go to the latest. Oh, I love that, love that. What do you know? What has God called you to? Stick with it. Be strong in it. Keep your hope alive. Because that's what happens. Is again, revelations anchor us in storms.
Yeah.
Marie, let's read 2 Timothy chapter 1.
2 Timothy 1. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. There's many times people came up to me, particularly in the early stages of the cancer journey, and our whole church and many people around the world were praying for us. We had pastors overseas who had started a prayer chain through pastors that they knew. So we literally had thousands and thousands of people praying, and our own church as well. But many people came up and said, Marie, do you believe Paul's going to get healed? And they were wanting an absolute answer. And I said, I tell you what I do believe. I believe that God is a healer. I believe that God is sovereign. I believe that God is good.
Yeah.
But I can't say that God is going to heal Paul, absolutely, but I do know that God is in control, and whatever he wants is what we want. And it's not a matter of an outcome, it's a matter of trusting God. And that's what I believe. I believe in God. I believe God is a good God. I believe God is trustworthy, and ultimately he's in control. And that's a revelation that really has carried us through this whole season of time.
Yeah. So good. Every location, look this way. I want everybody to think about this. Your level of response under pressure reveals what you really know. There will be times for every church, every individual, where shaking will take place. If you sit on the fence in those times, it shows or reveals what you really know. What you really, really know. You might say certain things, but as I said, there's a real difference between getting an understanding that's deep and having a revelation, which is going to anchor you in storms. Things shouldn't shift. We made a decision with the cancer journey that Marie and I and our family would be completely bold, even though they said there is no answer, there is no way you can get through that. So we said, let's be honest with everyone, because everybody tells the good stuff, but they don't talk about the journey. Because we know that God will have the ultimate say. So we were ready to do and to go wherever God allowed. The enemy brings evil. God doesn't bring any evil, but God uses evil for greater purposes. I want you to hear that. Once you get that, you can walk through any storm and stay constant and keep upright rather than standing back. People that stand on the shelf or stand back and wait to see what will happen are revealing they have a limited level of revelation about what's taking place and where they are in that mix. Is this okay? I'm being straight. I only get two shots. That's this morning and tonight, or this afternoon, and then we're out of here. So that's the second one. Revelations anchor us in storms. First one, hope is the birthplace of faith. The third one would be this. Promise, the promises of God connect with purpose. Huge understanding. See, God has promises, and God has promised to heal, but they are connected to his purposes. You might say, why did you get cancer? Why did God allow that to happen? Why did you have to go through two major brain surgeries? I mean, tonight we'll go to some depth about the journey and how horrific it has been. God allowed us that to happen. The devil wanted to destroy us, but God allowed it to go to a certain place so that we could be here today to encourage you about a pathway to the miraculous.
One of the big things that you said at the beginning of this wasn't, which is a human response, why God? Paul didn't do that. He said, God, what is this for? And it's a big difference between why God, but what is this for? And that bigger purpose is what God said, Paul, it's for a bigger purpose. And he said, okay, God, I can run with that. Show us what the bigger purpose is. And that has been helpful along the journey.
Yeah. Unfortunately, in the church, our primary preaching on faith is faith on an outcome. You hear most preachers, they preach, and I used to too, preach on faith, you'll see this miracle happen for you. But faith is in the purposes of God. And the promises of God need to be linked with the purposes of God. Let me illustrate. Why did it take Jesus 30 years to get into ministry full time? Because the purpose of God was preparing him for the greatest challenge a human being could go through. And God allows things to happen in your world. God doesn't create anything bad or negative, but God allows it so that we can, how can we testify to a world that's broken and in need if at times we have, do not have a testimony of being broken and in need and the things most precious to us going from us so we can reach that world? I have a friend currently who's got MMD and he's losing muscular control. They gave him 2 years to live. He's currently 13 years into the journey. They've never heard of it before. He says, God allowed that to happen. The devil sought to destroy me so that I would have a passport into the motor neurons disease environment. We have access into people that have gone through major trauma in the brain because we've been through it. God will walk with us through the trials, but he doesn't always remove the trials. Is this helping somebody? Like, why did that kid die? I can't answer that. Only eternity does. But God works differently to humanity. Yeah. We work from now forward. God works from eternity back. Do you know, God's goal for your life is not to give you all of the victories, but to use your life to be a pathway and a connection and a link for people to find his love and forgiveness. Yeah. And yet we live me-centered so much. Jesus will carry, my belief is, carry scars for eternity. Look at my hands, look at my side, look at my feet, to remind us that all of us will be scarred in this life, but the scars don't have the victory.
Yeah, amen.
They're a stepping stone to reach a world that needs Jesus. Yeah. And I just want to encourage you, if you feel like you're going through the hardest time in the world, you say, yeah, but God's promises, I quote God's promises, yes, but promises are linked to purpose.
Yeah.
Every location, realize that God is going to use some of the things that the enemy wanted to destroy us with. God's allowed them for a bigger purpose. Mm. And as Marie said, for us, we realize that our journey, whether we lived or died, was for a bigger purpose. Mm. And we were able to walk through it saying, God, we trust you in that. And when you get to that place, you find, and we're going to talk tonight about peace. You find how you can find peace in the worst and discover the wonder of who God is.
Yeah. Ecclesiastes 3:9 says, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given tasks with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end.
Amazing. The final thought is this, maybe the team could come and join us, is not only do we understand that there is a connection between promise and God's purpose, but that there is a need for us to break through, but breakthrough is going to require resilience. Life is not easy. If you're looking for a perfect church, it doesn't exist because you're in it and I'm in it. The enemy is active and he's working, and all of these things became very, very much enlarged in our understanding that we would have to be resilient to get through it. Again, we may touch on this tonight, but I remember when I went through this brain operation, which they had to take the back of my brain completely, or the skull completely off, and deal with the brain issues, which one of the surgeons says it couldn't be done. We got another surgeon that said they'd give it a go. So we said, we want you, because without that, we won't live through this. And we had that, but then it seemed like it had reoccurred, the cancer had reoccurred, and so we had to go for a second brain operation, and I had kind of the enemy saying, you dodged one bullet, you most probably aren't going to dodge the second one. And I thought, no, we've got to push through the pain. We've got to push through the impossibility. We've got to push through, why did that happen? We've got to push through. It's just too hard. We've got to push through. You can't imagine the lengths we had to push through and just get resilient. And I think we need more resilience.
Yeah, the interesting thing was in about just before we found out in 2021 that Paul had the cancer, he also had it in his lungs, liver and adrenal glands, not just in his brain. We had been praying for a supernatural outpouring in our church. We were praying diligently as a church that we would see more miracles. Yep. And just the supernatural power of God. And bang, we got hit at that time with the cancer.
So we're asking, here at Pneuma, God, for the greatest days. We're asking for the miraculous this month. We're talking about the miraculous. What do you think the enemy's going to do? Oh, yeah, just go for it. We were praying at that time, as Marie was saying, for a supernatural breakthrough. And we get hit with terminal inoperable cancer, less than 3 months to live. So do you just give up and accept it? No. Faith without works doesn't exist. Many people espouse faith, they quote faith, but they don't fight through with resilience to the formation of faith for the breakthrough. We're going to see the greatest move of the miraculous in the last days, but we're also going to experience the greatest confronting by the enemy to take as many people that don't have, again, that strength of foundation and know what they know to push through and get hold of it.
I think one of the things with praying for that supernatural avalanche, you know, we can sometimes think we know how that's going to look. And God has done incredible supernatural things over this journey of the last 4 years of walking through the cancer journey. But it literally, we've had thousands of people praying and we have seen God do amazing things because of the connection, and the supernatural has taken place, but in a completely different way than we had been praying. And what our concept of what we thought was a supernatural avalanche was going to look like. So God answered our prayers, but it didn't look like we thought it was going to look.
Let me read this one scripture as we bring it to a close. James chapter 2 in verse 14. What does it profit everyone, my brethren? Somebody stands up and says, I've got faith, but does not have works. Can faith save him? If we don't apply a corresponding level of commitment to the things we're asking God for, we're not going to see it come to pass. God is fully committed and he needs our full commitment to push through with resilience and to break the power of the enemy's plan for our lives. Are you getting something? My faith must match my willingness to correspond with him, with the purposes that God has. So hope is the birthplace of faith. Revelations anchor us in storms. I love the third one, which is promise connects with purpose. One day there will be a day in eternity where everything that was promised will be fulfilled. Some of our answers will not happen in our lifetime, but it will take resilience to stand all the way into eternity. Once we get to eternity, we will realize much of what God said was in an eternal framework. We live in a natural, restrictive time frame. I hope this is helping somebody. Because God is able. Amen. Let's give him the glory. So we're going to pray.
I was going to read that scripture. Just the last scripture, 2 Timothy 4, 5 says this. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill the ministry, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing.
Going to release in a moment, just going to pray and then release every location of the location pastors. But we're going to believe that today will be a day that we'll look back on and say, we found a God that makes sense, understands, and is able to do the impossible. Because we know that God has a purpose in everything. Come on. Father, we thank you that we can entrust our sunshine-filled days and our dark, cold nights to you. And God, we can come and say that, God, your purpose will reign. And God, your will be done. And we just pray that today will be a day where hope, there'll be an infusion of hope into every heart. God, we pray that you would move powerfully in the name of Jesus. Amen. Over to every location. Come on, let's really give God a hand and praise him for that. Why don't we stand to our feet just for a moment, change our posture. Marie and I and our son Luke, we wrote a book, which you'll see in the foyer, called But God, which is the 32-year journey of being senior pastors of life from the beginning to the end. And we talk about the journey very honestly, about the obstacles, the challenges, and how God brought an answer and brought a breakthrough in those challenges. And if you are someone that wants to be inspired about living a hope-filled life, this will really help you. We've weaved the cancer story all the way through it. Very honest, very raw, yet some very practical answers to how we can live life so that hope will provide a birthplace to faith. Faith will bring the supernatural. So you might want to see that, and that'll be something that will bless your life. But I wanted you to stand because I think if we were honest, some of us, many of us, or all of us go through seasons where hope is challenged. But today I want to pray for an infusion of hope. I want to pray that the enemy will not have his sway to dampen our hope, because we're believing in this month we're going to see more of the miraculous. So therefore, we need to keep hope alive. And it's not a shame. It's not a guilty thing to say, you know what? I'm waning on my hope. I had a high expectation. I didn't understand that bad things happen and that things are changing and I don't know how it's going to end up. Why don't you lift your hope and say, God's got it. We're going to find our way through this. We're going to resolve to go all the way. And if that's you today and you say, Paul, I need an infusion of hope, we're going to have another song of worship. But I want you to lift your hand and say, Paul, would you pray for me? Because I need an infusion of hope. Come on, lift them up nice and high, all over the place. There'll be many hands because we all go through this at some time. But right now you're just saying, I'm going to be honest. Your status doesn't mean you don't struggle with hope. It's just a hand that goes up. I'm reaching into the throne room of heaven, into the eternal capacity of God. And I'm praying for an infusion of hope. Father, again, I just pray right now, as we begin to worship, as we begin to declare your authority and your glory, that God, hope will come from heaven. God, hope will renew our hearts. Lord, the fatigue of what we've gone through and what other people have said and how we feel are robbing us from the fact that hope is the birthplace of faith. And God, I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, come with a wave of your presence as we worship you, as we just declare your power, your authority. We lift our hands, we lift our hearts. We pray, God, that hope will be born as we worship and as we sing and we declare. And I want you to just to let your heart go. Come on, begin to worship. Holy Spirit.
All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all.
Sing it again.
Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers.
Come on, we're gonna sing it louder. Sing it again. If you're able, why don't you lift a hand or two and just reach into heaven and say, God, my trust is in you.
Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above.
We're going to sing it again a few times. Let something happen in your spirit.
Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name, yes, it stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name.
Sing it one more time.
Stands above them all.
The devil has no authority.
Your name.
The name of Jesus.
He's the highest.
I want to encourage every single person that is facing the challenge of impossibility. I want to encourage you to get up, begin to declare hope, strength, power. Know that God has a purpose with what you're going through. Whatever the enemy meant to destroy, God's going to use for good. And then stay resilient. Stay resilient. Just say, I'm not giving up the fight. You imagine being diagnosed with terminal cancer, which there is no medical answer with. Even the top oncologist in New Zealand said, I'm not a person of faith. I've got to accept what you have experienced is a miracle. You have experienced as a miracle. But its birthplace was hope. And maybe you're here this morning and you're somebody who's walked with God before. You've had a relationship with God, but you know you're not right with God. Maybe you've compromised, you've let sin come into your world. Maybe you just feel a million miles away from God because you've not been walking with Him. Maybe you're here for the first time or you've been here before and you've never personally asked Jesus to become the center of your life. You cannot discover lasting peace until He becomes the Lord of your life. And that's a decision. Religion will force that on you, but Jesus doesn't. He makes it available. He says, whosoever will may come. But I want to pray the most powerful prayer, more than a prayer for healing, is a prayer that your life is connected with Jesus. And I want every eye to be closed one more time. I want to give you just the privacy of this moment. If you're here and you say, Paul, you know, I know I've walked with God before, but I'm not right with God today. I want to pray for you because that can change in one moment where you just honestly repent of your failure and say, God, I give my life to you. If you've never given your life to Jesus, one prayer doesn't make you a religious fanatic. It just connects you to the God that made you and you find peace and you find hope for a future. With every eye closed, if that's you, you say, Paul, you're talking to me. I want to be included in this prayer. I want you to shoot your hand up unapologetically. Come on, hands are going up all over the place. God bless you, 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 God bless you. Come on, lift them up high. Over here, God bless you. Over there, God bless you. Over here, God bless you, God bless you. God sees every heart, but lift them up. Just keep them up. If you put them down, put them up one more time and say, God, I am saying I need you today. I'm giving my life to you. Because we're going to pray a prayer collectively, all together, out loud. Keep your hand up just for a moment. Let's pray this together. Say, God, right here. Let's say it together. God, right here and right now, I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. I'm sorry for my past. I'm sorry for my sin, and I ask you to forgive me. I accept you as everything to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we put our hands together and praise God for that?